Well, good morning, Harvest family. I'm glad to see everybody this morning. Looking forward to a wonderful Lord's Day. And it's heating up a little bit. And it's so nice to know we got some cooler weather coming, but you pray with me that it always stays hot here on the platform in the pulpit. Amen. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessings on our service. Look forward to hearing from the choir this morning, a time of fellowship with our church family. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the blessings and joy of service and fellowship. I do ask that you meet with us this morning as we prepare to lift our hearts and voices in song in a time of worship. Lord, a time of praise, a time of fellowship with one another, Lord, and then the preaching of your word that will come later. I pray that you would just help us begin right now to prepare our hearts and minds and enjoy the time that you've given us to come together for worship, for fellowship, and the preaching and teaching of God's word. And Father, I pray that if there's anyone here that doesn't know that they know that they know that they're saved on their way to heaven, may today be their day of salvation. May any Christian who may be struggling or doubting their salvation or doubting their walk with the Lord, may they be challenged, encouraged, and strengthened through the preaching of your word today. We ask these things in the wonderful name of our Savior, from whom we have great victory in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for your obedience unto the Lord as giving of your tithes and offering. And let's remember, a tithe is a debt we owe, and an offering is a seed that we sow. And God has been so good to us here at Harvest, and thank you so much for your faithfulness in the area of giving. Let's go to the Lord in prayer so we can go into this next step of active worship as we give unto the Lord. Brother Leonard, would you ask God's blessings on our tithes and offerings, please?
Father, thank you so much for this glorious day that you've given to us. Father, we know, Father, in our hearts that you alone are worthy. And Father, we owe you so much, and all we can do is give you our worship, Father, and give back a portion of what you've given to us this week, especially as we consider the finances needed here at Harvest Baptist Church. And for the support of this ministry, Father, and all the missionaries that we support throughout the world. And Father, it's a joy and a privilege to give back to our great God, because Father, without your provisions, Father, we would be nothing and have nothing. And we recognize that, Father. We love you, and we want you to be glorified. We want you to be pleased with us. And so, Father, we just ask that you accept these offerings and tithes, Father, for this ministry and its outreach. And we give you thanks for honoring you and giving us the pleasure, the privilege to glorify you in this way. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please join us, if you would, as we go to the Lord in prayer and asking God's blessings upon our ministry here at Harvest Baptist Church and, of course, our men as well in the outreach and, of course, most importantly, the preaching of God's Word today. Let's go before the Lord and ask, beseech Him to help us today. Let's pray together. Father, as we come before Thy throne with heavy hearts, but yet at the same time, thanksgiving, because we know just how good You are. And no matter how we feel, no matter how we're up or whether we're down, whether we're discouraged or whether we're just excited and full of joy, You do not change. And Father, help us to be mindful that even in our discouragement, even in our rough goings, even at times when we feel that we are having a hard time saying faith is a victory, Lord, help us to know that You're still on the throne, You're still in charge. And Lord, we can commend all of our sorrows, all of our burden, all of the things that bother us, we can just trust You with. And Father, help us to do that today. Lord, if there's anyone here that doesn't know that they know that they know that they're saved and on their way to heaven, may today be their day of salvation. May that Christian who may be struggling, discouraged, and maybe having a hard time, that You would comfort, encourage, and strengthen them. Father, we need You to work and move in the midst of us. Lord, today, as we ask You to do in each and every service that we have, because Father, without You, we could do nothing. Father, help us to put away the cares or concerns of the world and be fully in tune for a time of worship, a time of fellowship, a time of learning today, that we may glean and learn from the Scriptures. Father, I ask, Lord, and thank You, and ask Your continued blessing on the men of Harvest. I pray that You'd be these men that are not able to be with us this morning, that are working, that are traveling on holiday, or that are just at home not feeling well. Father, that You protect them, comfort them, strengthen them, whatever their need may be. And Father, we pray as in general, as a rule of our men here at Harvest and those men that are visiting with us, that You would strengthen them. Father, that You would protect them, guard their heart, guard their eyes, guard their ears, guard their thought process. Help them to be the men that You would have them to be at home, at work, in the community, and here at Harvest Baptist Church. Encourage them, strengthen them, and help them to live that godly example before our young people, before other younger men and Christians around them, that they would see Christ in their life. Father, use them, encourage them. And Father, I thank You so much for their encouragement toward me and, Lord, and their support of their pastor. And Lord, we just ask for that continued growing, developing relationship. Father, we thank You for our ladies and of Harvest and their desire to serve You and to live for You. We thank You for our children and those that are in the nursery and children's church right now and the ladies that are working with them. We are so grateful for their desire and willingness to teach, to encourage, to love on, and Lord, and to help. And I pray that You bless them. Thank you for our nursery workers who allow our moms an opportunity to sit in a service and enjoy the preaching and teaching of God's word without having to be concerned or overly concerned about the behavior or how loud their child may be or how still they will not be. Lord, we know those are all in your hands, and we thank you for that. And Lord, we just ask that your continued blessings. We pray for our children again that are in children's church, that they would come to know Savior at a very young and tender age. And then, Father, again, I ask that you'd help me this morning. Give me clarity of thought, mind, and speech. Help me to be all that you would have me to be. Help me to be obedient this morning in your word. And Father, I pray that you'd use me today, your instrument, Lord, to bless, to challenge, to encourage, to comfort as needed today in our congregation. For we ask these things in the wonderful, wonderful name of our Savior, Jesus. Amen. Well, we finished up 1 John chapter 4 last week, and we'll go right into 1 John chapter 5 today. 1 John chapter 5. We're only going to look at one verse. Don't get excited. Doesn't mean it's going to be short. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 1, I'll go ahead and read a few verses, but we will go through the whole chapter of 1 John chapter 5 over the next several weeks. But today we'll be focusing just on verse 1, but I'll go ahead and read a few verses and we'll focus on verse 1 before our special music this morning. 1 John chapter number 5, 1 John chapter number 5 and verse number 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Maybe you notice our singing this morning was a reference around overcoming and victory.
I travel down a lonely road, but no one seemed to care. The burden on my weary back had bowed me to despair. I'd oft complain to Jesus how folks were treating me, and then I heard him say so tenderly, I give more grace when the burdens grow greater. I give more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, I add my sweet mercy. To multiply trials, my multiplied peace. His love, it has no limit. His grace, it has no measure. His power hath no boundary, known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he there's coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day, that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no more pain, no more parting over there, and forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be.
Some church some time ago in our military career, and after I can't remember, but Michelle used to sing a lot of melodies, and some of the folks would tease her and say, oh, there's Michelle singing another mini cantata. But putting the songs together, thank you for that song this morning. I had a thought this morning, and really doesn't necessarily go with the message, but I think it goes with preaching in general. And this might shock you, but if you came to church to feel good, to hear a message, rah, 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 you're probably coming for the wrong reason. And you have, I'll just be honest, you've got the wrong church. Do I want to do all those things? Of course I do. But here's the most important thing about church and teaching and preaching is that the Word of God is preached. That is why I'm going verse by verse, chapter by chapter. We've went through 1 John chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, and now we're on chapter 5. So guess what? I preach what's there. I preach what's there. And if I hear in Goodyear coming soon, and I'll pick this because it's a free commercial, I'm not getting any kickbacks. But here, if I want barbecue here coming soon, I'll be going down over here next to Red Lobster at a new restaurant opening up called Mission Barbecue. It is good. They have them back east. I used to go there about once a month. I really enjoy it. They've got one out in Surprise. You got to go out a little distance. It's a military, a veteran-owned, and as much as they can, vet-operated as well, but they got great food. I said all that to say this. I know what they have. I know what they serve. I've been there, and I know what to expect. And that's the kind of church I want to be a part of, where I know what I can expect. The Word of God is going to be preached. I'm going to be filled. There's going to be a buffet at the table to enjoy. But sometimes it may not be fully what I expected. I love my mother-in-law. And I'm not worried about what I'm going to say because I know, likely than not, unless Michelle tells her, she's not going to be watching the service. She's going to be watching her service. But for some reason, there's two meals that she likes to have at her house. And I don't like either one of them. But I'll never tell her and hope she doesn't listen. My mother-in-law enjoys tuna casserole. And as she visits, Michelle fixes it for her. Michelle likes it. We'll have it every once in a while. And I'll eat it. I'll never ask for it, but I will eat it when it's served. There's another dish that for some reason she thinks that I really enjoyed. It's called cranberry chicken. And every time we go to visit, she fixes it. Or is it pork chops? It's chicken or barbecue, but it's got cranberry in it. To me, cranberry goes with turkey, nothing else. Anyway, she fixes, I eat it, and I tell her how wonderful it is. Thank you, Mom. So now, every time I go, she fixes it. But that's okay, because I know it blesses her. I know she enjoys it. It may not be my favorite meal, but it's a protein. It fills a hole, and it's good for me, and I go on. Sometimes you just might come to church and hear something that you just don't like. And you have to ask yourself, is it I don't like it because it's rubbing me the wrong way? Is it protein? Is it the Word of God? Is it good for me? Will it benefit me? Will it strengthen me? Will it remind me? And this morning, I've got a message this morning that you will hear that you may feel like, well, I already know. I'm secure in that. Well, praise God. Every once in a while, we all need to be reminded and refreshed. But guess what? I don't know who's sitting next to you, behind you, in front of you, what they know and what they don't know. And probably more likely than not, you don't either. But the Holy Spirit does. And so you just remember once in a while when you come to church and you may, as I mentioned earlier about the announcements of the men, and you open your Bible and you're familiar with the text, don't fall into the area of daydreaming because you've already heard this preached. Or, oh, I'm familiar with the text. You might just get something different out of it if you listen a little closer. Though I may not always enjoy the tuna casserole, though I may not always enjoy the cranberry chicken, it satisfies me. I'm not hungry when I'm through, and it carries me over until the next meal. Sometimes we may get something that just carries us over what we need for the moment. But if we're not careful, we just kind of, you know how you'll do? You'll take your fork and your knife and you'll kind of move food around and make it look like you're eating. One of the things you're doing is moving food from one side of the plate to the other. Kids are great at that. And let's make sure we're not doing that with God's Word. There may be some things that you may feel like you can put aside, but let me encourage you to listen. Maybe something will be there that you've never seen before. I said all that to say this past week, I've listened to part one of a message on Gideon. And this week I'm going to listen to part two. And I listened to the preacher as he preached, and he said some things I thought, I never thought of it that way. Where did he get this insight? I have always heard it preached this way. He is coming from a completely different angle, a completely different approach, a completely different thought pattern. And then I had to step back and stop and think for a moment. Is everything that I've ever heard wrong and he's right? Or is everything I've ever heard right and he is wrong? So instead of just listening to it, I got my Bible out and went through and read the passage because I was just listening to a sermon while I was doing other things. And I got to reading over and I thought, they both could be right. They both could be right. And so I'm doing a little more studying on it. If I get over it and decide to do a series on Gideon, I'll tell you what I learned from him and not take all the credit for myself. But I liked what he said better than what I always thought and I always heard from other people because it was a whole different approach. So let me encourage you through the preaching and teaching of God's Word, not just this morning, not just today, but in any service, say, okay, Lord, I am somewhat familiar with the text. And you say, well, preacher, how do you know that? Because I'm a preacher and I've sat where you sat and I've been in conference and revivals and meetings and Bible conference and I thought to myself, as soon as I read the text, my mind goes, well, I wonder if he's going to do this. Well, I wonder if he's going to use this point. Or I wonder if he's going to use this thought pattern. My mind is already going before the preaching starts. And if that's the case, reel it back in a little bit. And maybe there might be something that encourages you, strengthens you, or helps you to understand something to better explain to someone else. Explain it to someone else you've been witnessing to. This morning, as I've read our text already, the victorious Christian is what we'll talk about over the next few weeks, especially this morning. But John points out here in chapter 5 that Christians have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. As we sang this morning, victory in Jesus. And as Christians, we don't have to be overpowered, overwhelmed, or overthrown. We don't have to feel wiped out, shut out, or knocked out. We can celebrate and have victory in Jesus. We may feel overwhelmed at times, but we must remind ourselves who we are in Christ. We must choose not to allow that to get us down because I do have victory in the Lord Jesus. And because we have victory in the Lord Jesus, we can sing as we sang this morning, oh, victory in Jesus. Let me read that chorus to you. Fear I sing it. My Savior forever, He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere and I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Beloved, are you living a victorious Christian life? Are you living your best that you can for the Lord? And don't misunderstand me from a coined phrase because it's not biblical in the way he says it, but are you living your best life for Christ? Some of you will know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about based on what Christ has done and not how we may feel or how well we don't feel. Beloved, or again, are you living a victorious Christian life, or are you living with doubt, discouragement, depression, or maybe even a defeated spirit? If you are, I would like to help you this morning to confront this weakening problem. Yes, these emotions are real, but they're weakening to the Christian. Yeah, you don't need to be all negative and downtrodden, discouraged, and overwhelmed, because we may feel that way and our feelings may be real, but in reality, we have victory in Christ no matter what is going on in our life. No matter what is taking place, our victory is in Him. And I want every believer to be a victorious Christian. I want every believer to live a life of victory in Christ and not allow Satan to use other things that would pull us down or to discourage us. You see, there are reasons why many Christians live in spiritual defeat. There are countless reasons, but there are biblical reasons why they should not. We allow our emotions, we allow how we feel or what we think to overrule what we know and what we should base our daily life on. We could choose to allow our emotions and feelings to take over, or we could choose to say, I'm going to take the biblical approach, and I know that I have victory in Christ, and I have biblical reasons to be confident, to be cheered up, to be ready to move forward. Yes, I feel tired. Yes, I'm not feeling well. That is something, the happenings around me. But my joy is in Christ. And even when I don't feel well, I can have joy. Even when I don't feel up to the task, I can still have joy in who Christ is and what He has done for me in my life. Only one point this morning, but again, don't get too happy. We got four subpoints. Number one, we are eternally secure in Christ. That is a reason to live in victory. That is a reason to have joy in our life, is that we are eternally secure in Christ. It tells us here in our text, just in verse 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth Him that begat loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. Here John states again, for whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Believeth is from the word pistioio, which means to believe, to be persuaded, or to have confidence. Being in the present tense indicates a continual action. In other words, everyone believing that Jesus is the Christ. Folks, you either believe He is or you don't. And the Bible says if you believe that He is the Christ and you have put your faith and trust in Him, you are secure in Christ. John continues with, they are born of God. The word born is from the word gnaho, which means to be begotten or to be fathered. The word born is in the perfect tense, which describes an action which is viewed as being completed in the past, once and for all. No need to be repeated. No need at all. Beloved, once you are born again, you cannot be unborn. Just like a mother who gives birth to her child, they cannot be unborn. So we need to remember and realize that we are eternally secure in Christ. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but dear friends, if I didn't think that God had me secure, I wouldn't be happy. I wouldn't be confident. I think I would be overwhelmed. I would be discouraged because I know who I am. And I know my weaknesses and my failures. I'm glad it's not up to me to keep me secure in Christ. It's Him. Letter A. The Christian is spiritually fathered or begotten by the Lord. Dear friends, it is a done deal. John chapter 1 and verse 12. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. You see, the person who has been truly born again is a person who continues to believe that Jesus is the Christ. He has an enduring, continual faith that does not lose that faith in Christ. Such faith is proof that he or she is a believer. See, through the years of ministry, through the years of life of just being a believer, I have met folks who profess to be Christians, but later said they stopped believing in Jesus and rejected Him. Now, question, did their lack of faith cause them to lose their salvation? No. The reality of their spiritual condition is they were probably never saved in the first place. If you are a child of God living like a heathen, you will be under conviction. You will get worked over. And if you can continue to live in sin with no disruption at all, you've got to question, do I know it here or do I know it here? Do I know Jesus as the Christ, the one who lived, died, buried, and rose again, or I just know a historical figure? We must know that we know that we know. There is no such creature that is a Christian that does not believe that Jesus is the Christ. You can't separate them. You either believe that He is the Christ or you don't. And if you don't believe that He is the Christ, then you're not putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You're not repenting of your sin to one who's the only one that can resolve that problem. People make false professions every single day, every service, every event. So many people make false professions of not fully understanding, bowing their head to say a prayer because that's what grandma wants me to do. I'm going forward because all your friends are going forward. Making a decision because it's the popular thing to do. Do you realize right now, in a certain generation, it's popular to read your Bible. It's popular to go to a church function or service. My question is, in that popularity, is it because others are going and others are there, my peers are there, or is the popularity based on the preaching and teaching of who Christ is? Is it about Him, or is it just a place to go? Some restaurants get a name, as I mentioned early in the service, to be well known, and word gets out, especially social media, where people go and show up because of all the raves and reviews of how good it is, and you really don't know until you get there. And dear friends, taste and see, and you will know just how good God and His Son is. But have you experienced that? The Christian is spiritually fathered or begotten by the Lord. But the Bible says back in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 19 that we covered several weeks ago, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that were not all of us. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 22 and 23. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also. Dear friends, a Christian is spiritually fathered and begotten by the Lord. We are children of God if we're looking at Jesus the Christ as our Savior and nothing else. Letter B, our victory is in Him. The victory we're talking about is in Him. It's nothing that I can do, nothing that you can do. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5 says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We are kept by the power of God. It's Him that keeps us. There's nothing I can do to make me righteous. There's nothing you can do to make yourself righteous. Beloved, we are eternally secure in Jesus Christ. There are those who dispute this doctrine and saying that we have to maintain good works in order to get to heaven. To me, that just makes no sense, and it's not biblical. If a person is saved by faith in Christ, but then can sin his way out of God's grace, then they would live in a continual uncertainty about their salvation. How could you ever know that your efforts, your works, your life was good enough? To believe that salvation is maintained by good works would mean that salvation by God's power and grace was maintained by your own power. In other words, basically you're saying is, He was good enough to save me, His blood covered my sins, but now I've got to be good to keep what He's given me. But no, the Bible says that we are secure in Christ. No, we're not perfect. No, we will not live above sin. No, we will still struggle in the flesh. But as we've said countless times, we're to keep short accounts as we trust in what He has done for us when we put our faith and trust in Him. Our security is in Him and Him alone. I can remember when our girls were home, sometimes they might get a gift or they might get something or might be saving something and they were getting, and they would say, Mom or Dad, could you keep this for me while I'm gone? Now keep in mind, when they leave, their siblings are not there because they're all going to camp. It's just Mom and Dad. But will you keep this? Will you secure this for me so it'll be safe while I'm gone? What is that child doing? They're putting their faith and trust in Mom or Dad to keep this thing secure so they can go to camp and not worry about it. And while they're gone to camp, there's nothing they can do to keep up with it. Dear friends, there's nothing we can do to keep our salvation. Today we committed or put our faith and trust in Him. We are giving that eternal security to Christ. We are giving our salvation to Him. It is He who keeps and secure us as we continue to live our life. I cannot do enough on my own, and we'll look at that in just a moment. It's all Him. Our security is in Him. And again, to believe that salvation is maintained by good works would mean that salvation by God's power and grace was maintained by man's own power. There's nothing I can do to keep myself secure in Christ. I am secure because He has mandated it. Today, I bent the knee, bowed the head, confessed my sins, and put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ as my Savior. The Christian is spiritually fathered or begotten by the Lord. Our victory is in Him. And let her see, we are not powerful enough to do it. We are not powerful enough. We are not strong enough. We are not good enough to maintain and keep our salvation ourselves. Again, it would be works. We can't save ourselves. If I forfeit my salvation by my sin, I will lose it within the moment because I struggle with my sin at nature every single day. And hey, don't look at me that way. You do too. Hey, as long as we're living here on earth, we're going to struggle with some things. We're going to struggle and have a hard time. And I'm not going to meddle and call out your sin or my sin, but we all know some areas that we struggle in. How could you and I maintain or remain faithful to God when 1/3 of the angels in heaven could not remain faithful? Think about that for a moment. These fallen angels lived in heaven and knew God, but still rejected Him. Still thought they knew better, and they went against Him. Let me put it this way. If you can lose your salvation, at what level do you lose it? What sin causes you to lose it? Where do you draw the line in big sin, little sins, horrid sins, immoral, moral? Oh, well, it's just a little immoral. Where do you draw the line? What do you do to have to lose it? Is it a big sin, little sin? Who says what kind of sin is big and what kind of sin is little? By the way, the Bible says and God says all sin is bad. How do you know when you get your salvation back if you could lose it? How do you get it back if you could lose it? Who establishes the standard of acceptance, you or God? You see, do my good deeds get my salvation back? If they do, it is my works that really saves me. See, it's an endless circle. There's no way. It's either Him or it's not Him. It's either Him or it's my good works. And I disagree with some of my friends of another faith denomination that believe you can have it one day and lose it the next. And I don't know how many times I've asked them, well, tell me, how many times have you lost your salvation? What do you mean? How many times did I lose my salvation? Well, you said you could lose it. You said it was based on works. So when did you lose? What sin did you commit that caused you to lose your salvation? Well, I never have. I said, well, then what sin would cause you to lose your salvation? Dear friends, there is no sin that steals our salvation. Beloved, the Bible is very clear that good works is not the basis of our salvation. Paul made this very clear in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. See, if we believe we can lose our salvation, we create a great deal of doctrinal problems and doubt. How, what do we accept? What do we reject? Where do we draw the line? What's a good sin? What's a bad sin? What is okay? For example, if God provided the atonement of Christ as only a means for us to potentially save ourselves, then that would mean that the death of Christ did not actually secure salvation for us. Hebrews refers to putting the Lord to an open shame if we could lose our salvation to get it back. If we could lose our salvation, would it not mean He would have to go and die again for the shedding of blood? The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. It would also mean that the final determination of our salvation is our individual performance, not the grace of God. I'm sure I'm going to heaven. I'm better than him. I'm sure I'm going to heaven. I don't sin like they do. Well, I'm sure I've got to get in because I don't live that kind of lifestyle. Well, I think that kind of attitude has already put you in the category of pride, which is another sin. We know that these things are not biblical truth. It would also mean that the final determination of our salvation, again, is individually and not the grace of God. If God agreed to most of the work in our salvation, where would our certainty be that we accomplished our part of the bargain? We would never know if we did enough until we were dead, and then it's too late. But we base it on what the Bible says, the finished works of the Lord Jesus Christ. If a work salvation, in a work salvation, you must judge yourself by evaluating the level of bad sin and not so bad sin. We would find ourselves falling short and justifying sin. It's really not that bad. Listen, here's a good example. Eating forbidden fruit does not seem so bad in this type of scenario, does it? Oh, it was just a piece of fruit. Oh, it'll grow back. It'll produce more. We start justifying. Oh, that's your sin's bigger than my sin. Oh, my goodness, look at his lifestyle. See, God doesn't see that. God just sees S-I-N, not just the act and a weight of scales of which is good and what is bad. If it was sin that caused Adam and Eve or caused them to be cast out of the Garden of Eden and condemned the human race to death, God was showing his hatred of sin. But praise God, the Bible says we are secure in Christ. We don't have to be concerned, am I living up to it? Am I doing enough? I can remember as a young boy, and I've shared a portion of this story before, but I think it would go good here again. And having that wheelbarrow and shovel out in the garage, and Dad would say every day as school started, son, don't forget, or junior, don't forget when you come home today, you need to fill those potholes in the driveway. And it was no problem getting sand because the pre-driveway coming before you got into the gate was full of loose sand. And I must have hauled 1,000 wheelbarrows of sand to fill that driveway, and I never ran out of sand. But here we go. I'd fill the wheelbarrow up, go into the driveway, stop at pothole number one, empty it out. Go to the next pothole and empty it out. Once the wheelbarrow was finished, Brother Hunt, I went back and filled it up again. Picked up where I left off every single day. And I asked one time, Dad, when will there be enough sand in the holes to fill it that'll never happen again? And basically he said, son, never. Never. We have rain, we have wind. I'm driving in and out. You kids are running through with your go-karts and your mini bikes. You're running around playing ball. Things are always going to be pushed out. And dear friends, we must realize in this world here that we live in below, we are never going to fulfill a goal of being good enough to get into heaven. There's just no way. There's just no way. You could come up with a cure of cancer. You could come up with a cure of healing, whatever disease you want to name, and it still would not be enough because the Lord said, the Bible says, God says, He made a way of escape through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we can't accept that, then where's the victory? But dear friends, we must remind ourselves there is victory in Jesus. I don't have to wring my hands and wonder if I did enough. I didn't have to wring my hands when Dad got home and put enough sand in the holes, because he knew that if I filled the holes, he knew within a few hours, he knew by the end of the day when he got home, there might still be a few that are not quite as smooth as the others. He knew that. And if he had any doubt, all he had to do is ask Mama, "Jesse, honey, did Junior fill those holes today?" "Well, I didn't watch him, but he went back and forth with wheelbarrows full of sand several times. He knows I attempted to." Folks, we can't attempt enough. We can't do enough to secure ourselves in Christ. All we can do, and I don't want this to come across the wrong way as works or based in any shape, form, or fashion. We have to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That's it. Him and Him alone. Him and Him alone. There is no other way around hell. There's no other way to get into heaven. The Christian is spiritually fathered or begotten by the Lord. Our victory is in Him. We are not powerful enough to do this on our own. And lastly, our victory over death is in Christ. Kind of went ahead of myself before I named my point. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ." See, we are eternally secure in Christ because we are justified. So what does this justified mean? Well, justification is the act of God declaring the repentive, believing sinner righteous in Christ. Justification is an act, not a process. We can't earn our way there. Each Christian has the same right standing before God because there are no degrees of justification. Justification is something God does, not man. You can't justify yourself before God. We've all been teenagers. Some of us who've had children, we've had teenagers. And if you're young and you don't have them yet, it's coming. Just bear with me. It's coming, and you'll see this as well. Boy, teenagers are good at justifying their actions. "Well, I did it because, well, Susie and Sally and Joe and John and what all the other," they're justifying what they did not do, trying to make themselves look better than it really appears. There's no justifying ourselves before Christ. He stands before us. He is our advocate because of what we did. He says, "Father, they have put their faith and trust in me, the Lord Jesus Christ. They are justified. I declare them justified by the finished works on the cross of Calvary." Again, justification does not mean the Lord makes us righteous. He declares us righteous. See, we will struggle with sin after we get saved, but we are declared righteous because the Lord has put the righteousness of Christ on our record in the place of our sinfulness and our sinful life. Thank God for Jesus, the victory He has given to Christians. That should be something to shout about, to be excited about. I know whom I have believed in. I know that I'm on my way to heaven. I know that I know that I know because of the finished works of the Lord Jesus Christ. I put my faith in Him. I am not like the fallen angels who know of God, but I am one who's put their faith and trust in Christ. I possess. I don't just know of something. There is a possession that I have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for Jesus again and the victory that He has given Christians. Dear friends, if you are struggling with doubt or disbelief in the Lord, then get it settled. Why go through life wondering? Why go through life wondering, trying to figure it out, trying to know, do I have it? Do I not have it? Did I lose it? Did I find it? Do I have it? That is a starting point for victory. Do you know that you know that you know that you are saved? If not, why not get it settled right now? I'll give one last example and we'll close. If you're here today and you don't know that you know that you know that you're saved on your way to heaven, why not settle it today? If you have some doubts or you're not sure, or you would say, "Well, I know I'm not going to heaven based on what the Bible says. I know what kind of person I am. There's no way I'm getting in." Well, you can through Jesus Christ. You can through the Lord, but it's not of anything that we can do. Nothing would be good enough. I'll tell a story on myself. Hopefully I can pull this in. Just thought of it. Most of you know, if you've been coming to Harvest for a little while, I had to propose to Michelle 3 times before she wouldn't laugh. She's repented of it since then. Finally, she said yes. And I had a little bit backwards because I didn't have the ring yet. I just wanted to make sure I had the girl. But when I started looking at rings, is it big enough? Is it shiny enough? Does it sparkle enough? Should I get fewer crowns so the diamond looks bigger? Should I get from this jeweler? Should I go to this jeweler? I mean, will she like it? Come on, guys, you with me? You know what I'm talking about? You're buying that gift for your wife, whether it's the ring or whether it's another gift. Is she going to like it? And you're questioning and you're wondering it. And you look across the table to a complete stranger, and the only thing they want to do is sell you the most expensive diamond you can afford. And you ask them, is this good enough? Well, son, let me show you another sleeve of rings. That, of course, they have all have bigger price tags on them. Our Savior paid the ultimate price of giving His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might have eternal life. And we never have to fear or be concerned if we're big enough, we're good enough, we're shiny enough, or we're professional enough. All we have to do is put our faith and trust in Him. And then once we put our faith and trust in Christ, then if we want to worry about something, then we talk to the Lord and say, Lord, am I living for You the way I should? Lord, am I living the life that You would have me to live? Lord, change my life so I'll be more like You. Because see, the salvation part's already done. Now you're just working on the spiritual growth. But until you get the salvation part, how can we be concerned of the spiritual growth? Because there's no spiritual growth in Christ if you're not one of His. So, this morning, I know we have many in here that have already made public professions or faith. I know many of you have been longtime members of Harvest and in Christ and followed Him in believers' baptism. I rejoice in that. I hope I've said something today that has given you a reminder, some ammunition, some encouragement of the faith that we have and the victory we have in Christ, and maybe a few things and verses that would help you when you talk to someone this week at work or in your community about eternal security. But those of you that are struggling, those of you that may not know for sure that you're saved, why not settle it today? See, here's one thing about it. When I thought I was dumb, but I got a few more things here. My daughters and my granddaughters, when they have a birthday party, usually grandma and grandpa have to pull some of them aside if it's not their birthday because they think they're supposed to help open the gifts. They're supposed to be there because some of the gifts might actually be with them even though it has their sister's name on it. So we kind of got to hold them back because they're excited. You realize that same excitement my grandkids have at a birthday party, even when it's not their own, is the same excitement another believer has when they see a sinner come to Christ. They get excited. Hey, it's not my salvation. It's not my gift today. But praise God, I want to get in on it. I want to look and see as a new brother and sister in Christ. I want to see what it is that God's doing in their life. In other words, there's no one here that would be upset because you trusted Christ. There would be no one here that would say, oh man, we're here this long for this. No, they would rejoice when a sinner comes home. So if you're here today and you've never put your faith in Christ, why not today so we could rejoice with you? So we can get excited. If you're having doubts about where you spend eternity, why not settle it today and put it behind you and get excited for your next step in your life and walk with the Lord Jesus Christ? Let's stand together this morning. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Our pianist will begin playing in just a moment. Here today, and I care about my congregation. I care about those who attend our service. Whether you walk in off the street, I've never met you before, you've been here several weeks, it doesn't matter. I care. And if I didn't care, I wouldn't be presenting and preaching what God has placed before us in John chapter 5. So let me ask a couple questions, and we'll start our invitation, and we'll go have lunch. No one's looking but me. No one's going to come to you and pull you aside, but I will pray for you. but just to help me better understand it this way. If you know that you're saved, you have no doubt, you know that you know, there's no reservation, there's no doubt, I know that I'm secure in Jesus Christ because I've repented of my sins, I trust Him, I know that I'm going to heaven. Would you wave at me? Amen. Put your hands down. Not everyone could raise their hand. So let me ask you this morning, if you have some doubts and you have some concerns, I'm not going to come to you, but you just slipperily raise your hand up and now say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure. I'm open to talking about it. Maybe not today, maybe tomorrow, another day, but needless to say, I see that hand. Anyone else? Pastor, I'm not sure, but I don't want to leave today without having this settled. I need you to pray for me. Anyone like that? Preacher, slip your hand. Go to you. I will not pull you aside, but I will pray for you. Yes, I see that hand. I want to have a word of prayer. And while I pray, I want to ask you to simply do this. If you really meant that, and you desire to know that you know that you know that you're saved on your way to heaven, why not come forward and talk to me? Why not come forward to me and let you talk with somebody about your need for Christ and how you can know that you are saved? Father, you saw the hands. You know the things that are represented this morning. I pray that you'd help me to be a blessing. Help me to be a source of encouragement. Help those that need you as their Savior. May they have the courage to step forward and say, Pastor, I need to be saved. Pastor, I need to get things settled. I need assurance, whatever it may be. And Father, may Christians pray where they stand here at an altar. May they pray that the Spirit of God will continue to work in the midst of your people today. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. There's people at the altar praying now. Others may need to. If God has spoken your heart, why not just move forward right now? Some are beginning to move. Others may need to. Don't put off another day what you know in your heart that you need to settle today. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you're here today and you've never put your faith and trust in Christ, it's simply bowing your head and saying, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was buried and shed His precious, died, was buried and shed His precious blood that I might have eternal life. Lord, forgive me of my sins. I put my faith and trust in You. Lord, save my soul. That's all it takes. This in your own words, as simple as you know how. Lord, forgive me. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in Your death, burial, and resurrection. Father, help me be my Savior. That's all that it takes. In fact, I'll go a step further. If you have done that, but you have never made it public, you have never come forward and said, Church, Pastor, I put my faith and trust in Christ. I want you to pray for me. I want to take that next step of obedience and believer's baptism. I want to serve the Lord, but I want you to help me along the way. That's scriptural. The Bible tells us that we should tell and profess to others when we put our faith and trust in Christ. All hearts and minds are clear. You can look this way. The public invitation is never closed. I'm always available if you want to talk. All you have to do is call, send a text message, set up a time. If I don't answer the phone, if you call, text me, because if I didn't answer, that means either I've already gone to bed or I'm canceling with someone and I've turned my phone off. But I will answer a text as soon as I see it if I'm busy. But my concern is I don't want anyone here to leave without knowing that they know that they know that they're saved. I can be a help to you in any shape, form, or fashion. Please do not wait. I'll say one more thing. If you're here today and you put your faith and trust in Christ, and you have a friend, you have a family member that you know is not saved, have you ever told them, look, what the pastor preached about today, what he talked about, what the Bible says, I did that last week, last year, last month, five, whatever it was, I did that and I put my faith and trust in Christ. I think you should too. I think you should talk to Pastor. I think you should talk to Miss Michelle, because that's what you need to do in your life, because you need Jesus. That's called being a witness. It's called being an encouragement and sharing with someone else what Christ has already done for you. And you do that because you want your friend, your family member, your neighbor to go to heaven and not go to hell. Amen? Amen. All right, I'll make my way to the back. Again, I'm always available. As always, God loves you. His preacher loves you. If I can be helped to you in any way, please do not hesitate to ask. Don't forget, choir practice 4:15. Singspiration tonight, a time of fellowship in music. And so you join us tonight. Look forward to those things. And I'm going to make my way to the back.